He either is going to blow up the tote board, which I wouldn't be just completely shocked, pretty shocked, but not completely shocked.
He would definitely be the favorite horse of the whole field to blow up the tote board.
Oh my gosh, he'll totally blow it up, or he could blow up like four or five horses' chickens.
I want these two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared, who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack better. And it's just a beginner. There's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
Welcome to round two of Blinkers Off. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. What's up?
Hey, man, it's time for the big one.
It's time for the big one. Round two, Kentucky Derby preview. This is the one you probably just listened to, the Kentucky Oaks preview. The draw's been out for the Derby. We've handicapped it now with the draw. Made some changes, made some tweaks. And here we are.
Yeah, the draw told us a lot this year, really. I thought several of my horses that I kind of liked as upset, you know, potential type horses didn't draw that well. So kind of made the job easier, I want to say. I think it would have been very hard on us if Nyquist would have got the rail. And then we all would have been like, oh, now what do we do?
Yeah.
You know, because then it really would be completely wide open. But let's face it, that's the big standout, Nyquist, and let's see if, you know, we can try to beat him.
Well, the greatest thing about, you know, the rail draw was the fact that everyone griped about Trojan Nation being in the race at all. He's a, you know,
yep.
He's a maiden and shouldn't be in the race. Well, he drew the rail and case closed.
Case closed. Yeah. That's right.
So yeah, the Derby draw happened this afternoon. It is Wednesday. We're recording this Wednesday evening. We're recording this right now. Yeah, this is I got to be honest. I mean, we've been at it all day trying to get the best information out there for you guys, and my brain is just, it's just warped with Kentucky Oaks / Derby information right now.
It's gotten to that point in the day.
So if I come all like spewing out here in this podcast.
Well, the good news is, man, we've set up a very good podcast for you. So, you know, it's, you know, I think once we get in that moment, though, our game is going to just turn on. So I feel good about it.
Yeah. Before, because it's going to get insane, we've got some serious information and mm-hmm. stuff about to go out on this podcast, but I know we're not gonna have time, so I'll talk about it right now. Race three on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
A horse that we really, really can't tout enough, and that's Jazzy Times. We've been looking for this horse starting all year.
We've heard a lot of good things about this horse. We heard it way back to start the year about how Jazzy Times is a very good horse. Finally makes the debut, like you said, Saturday in the third race, 6.5 furlong maiden race there at Churchill Downs.
Zyatt Stables.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so the horse looks like it'd be Side Stables, Bob Baffert, Castellano riding, 3-1 morning line. So a bunch of first time starters in the race. Either no matter what, it'll be a fun race to watch because it's loaded. On today's show, we preview the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby. Interview trainer of Kentucky Derby contender, sudden breaking news, Donnie Von Hemel, and give rapid fire selections for the graded stakes undercard. Let's go. I'd like to now welcome trainer of Kentucky Derby contender, sudden breaking news, Donnie Von Hemel to the show. How's it going, Donnie?
It's going well. We're settled in here at Churchill. Been here since the Oaklawn got over a couple weeks ago, and the horse is healthy and happy. I've got no complaints. I think we're coming into the race in good shape right now.
Yeah, it seems like he's kind of the buzz horse right now among some of the local media. He's been talking about how he's been working out very well. Before we get into sudden breaking news, I wanted to ask you about your first Derby starter, which was Clever Trevor. I read a very funny quote by you that you said that Clever Trevor still lives at home, basically. He still lives on your farm there in Oklahoma. Can you kind of describe what that horse meant to you?
Oh, he was just a tremendous horse. and came along at a time in my career as a young trainer that really gave my career a shot in the arm, because we were able to win a grade one with him and run second in the Tri-Merge that year. And it's just really special thing to happen when you're that young of a trainer, to have a horse that take you to Kentucky Derby and then go on and be as good as he was. And every time I look out there in the pasture and see him, it's just a feeling of gratitude to him all the time. And my wife and daughter, they take care of him every day. If the weather's bad, he's in the barn, and he gets all the carrots and treats that he wants. And he has a buddy that's been living with him for the last 20-plus years on the farm, and they take care of each other pretty well.
That's so cool, because, I can only imagine, looking out, seeing him, whenever you're home, and it's like a constant reminder of what he did and kind of how, like you said, gave your, career kind of that shot in the arm. And, having that reminder there always is probably really cool. About him, kind of in regards to him, I was wondering, that was in 1989, the Kentucky Derby. How is it being there this year compared to when you were there in 1989?
Well, I think it's always been a big deal, the Derby in our sport. But it's probably more so now. I think the social media has probably made things a little more intense as far as the way the information gets out and all. If you remember back to the 1989, there were no cell phones. There were no phones in the barns. Or if they did have phones in the barns, they were turned off during racing. you go work your horse or do whatever, and when you went back and had lunch, and you'd call your owner and tell him how the day went. Well, now they're watching it live most of the time, whether he's working or galloping or whatever is going on. There's someone tweeting or they're putting a video up somewhere. So you're under an intense microscope here at all times leading up to the Derby. I guess it's that way in everything now.
Yeah, it is, and we're probably guilty of that. We probably add to that, so we apologize. But
your owners are probably calling you before you even have time to call them. Like, hey, what about that workout?
Yeah, they'll call and tell me it looks like you worked in a minute and change. And I said, you must have.
Well, it's, I know that the Derby is such a big thing in this sport, but you've mentioned several times, and you've proven it with horses through the years, that you don't really catch that quote-unquote Derby fever. Just kind of, how do you kind of manage to stay away from those temptations from time to time?
Well, I think it's a philosophy that I have and most of my clients have, and that we want when we identify a good horse, we want them to have a long career. And if they can do something like go to the Derby, that's great. But we're not going to sacrifice the rest of their career trying to get there. So we probably have tended to err on the side of caution most of the time, and hopefully that's created some horses that have had longer careers and accomplished some things that they wouldn't have otherwise if you'd have pushed them at the wrong time. We want the horse to take us there. We don't want to push him to get there.
Right. I mean, that to me, that's a very admirable thing. I mean, you don't see a lot in this game. It seems like any time there's a horse that even sniffs the board in a Kentucky Derby prep, all of a sudden they're pointing them to the Derby, and a horse probably has no business doing that. So yeah, I think what you do is pretty awesome, and to be able to keep from the temptations is saying something for sure. Obviously we love your family, the Von Hemels. Do you feel any added pressure to carry on, the legacy that your family's built?
Oh, I don't know about pressure. I've always been competitive, and And like to, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right, do it well. And I think that comes from my mother and my father and all the people, my grandparents and all that shaped me as a young person. But as far as pressure, I don't look at it like that. I just look at it like, I want to do the best I can for each horse and each client that I'm working for.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. We've always asked, we've asked your brother, we've even asked Kelby, your nephew, about it, and it's kind of the same answer. It's just, a standard of doing well and doing things the right way. So let's get to the task at hand, though, and what everybody wants to talk about, and that's sudden breaking news. I'm sure you've had this question a million times already, but we got to ask as well. You're experimenting with the shadow role. Can you just kind of explain the thought process on that?
Well, I think if you've seen his races at Oakland, going by the grandstand the first time, there's a lot of kickback, and there's he's just really not liking it a whole lot. And probably not leveling off the way that he should be. And this is an educated attempt to try and help him with that, where the shadow roll will block a little bit of the kickback, actually, and it'll also hopefully help him level off, and maybe we don't drop back so far, and not that we're looking to change tactics, but maybe we don't drop back as far, and we still have the same finish that we would if we ran like we did before. So I think we're all looking for a little bit of every little edge you can get, and hopefully this will help us out a little bit. It's very competitive field, so I think this is not a blinkers on type move, but it's potential to help us a couple of lengths, hopefully.
Yeah, kind of to what you mentioned as far as him, where he's going to be in the race. He obviously is a horse that makes that big late run at the end, so having a hot pace would certainly help things in the Derby. Do you think you'll get that from what you've seen from the handicapping side of things?
Oh, probably. I'm probably not very confident in that happening. I think, with 20 horses in the race and 150,000 people screaming at them when they come by the grandstand the first time, somebody's going to get stirred up and go. That's kind of what I'm banking on, that there'll be a little more pace than everybody's thinking right now. Somebody's going to draw outside today that wants to be forwardly placed, and they're going to have to make a decision to avoid being five or six wide through the first turn and go ahead and let their horse run. First time by the grandstand to avoid that. So, I think it could be somewhat dependent on how the post position draw comes for some of the horses that maybe aren't going to be on the lead but want to be close to the lead.
Yeah, and you mentioned the draw, which obviously is today, and it's obviously one of the most exciting things about the Derby. I know that, with a closer like Sudden Breaking News, maybe it won't make any, that much of a difference, but do you have any preference at all on post position for this afternoon?
No, I think we're just somewhere in the middle suit us just fine, and don't worry about things you can't control, and we can't control that. So we'll just see where we line up at.
Well, Donnie, appreciate you coming on the show, and seriously, best of luck Saturday. We cannot tell you enough how much we're rooting you on.
Well, thank you guys, and like I said, we're gonna enjoy the day one way or the other. It's an exciting time, and hopefully things go well, and we can talk again about something afterwards.
So. That would be great.
Hey, we'll definitely find time for that.
Okay, y'all have a good day now.
All right,
you too. Thanks, Donnie.
And they're into the stretch, and it's American Pharoah who has taken the lead on the outside. In between horses, it's Firing Line. Dorfman is down at the rail as they come into the final furlong. American Pharoah, Firing Line, not done yet. And these two come into the final 16th. It's American Pharoah in front, Firing Line. Dorfman is third, Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa.
obviously, after hearing that, I mean, the 2015 Kentucky Derby was something out of this world, especially considering the full realm of what we got to witness last year.
Yeah, it was really amazing. It was a launching point of a triple crown, the first one in 37 years. You know, we had a large bet on the race. We knew the horse. I mean, it was just awesome.
And now,
we have this.
Yeah. And now fast forward to this year, where we do have Nyquist, undefeated favorite at 3-1. But he's more accomplished, I guess, going into the race as far as earnings. He does not have, I mean, this is not the same kind of situation where we're thinking, okay, this horse, has potential. First of all, we don't know how far he can go. Distance limitations seem real at some point. But here we are. 2015's gone. 2016 is here. We're here for the Kentucky Derby. Grade one, we're $2 million, three-year-olds going a mile and a quarter, field of 20. We drew post positions just this evening. And, I mean, you mentioned it kind of in the intro. Nyquist draws a 13-hole, 3-1. Definitely didn't hurt anything for him. Yeah. Horses, Dancing Candy, 20, drew the 20-hole, the one, Trojan Nation we mentioned. Draws the inside on the rail. Creator, the three horse. Well, let's run through them real quick. Number two, Sudden Breaking News. Three, Creator. Four, Mo Tom. Five, Gunrunner. Six, My Man Sam. Number seven, Oscar nominated. Eight, Lanny. Nine, Destin. 10, Whitmore. 11, Exaggerator. 12, Tom's Ready. 13, Nyquist. 14, Moheyman. 15, Outwork. 16, Chagaff. 17, More Spirit. 18, Majesto. 19, Brody's Cause. And 20, Dancing Candy. The two also eligibles are Lil Ben, the 21, and 22, Cherry Wine. So those are your also eligibles in case there's a scratch before Friday's cutoff. All right. Whew, take a breath. So Nyquist, is he the deserving, clear standout right now?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt he's the standout. And I'm going to go through them and kind of tell you why I thought that. So one by one, okay. Let's just do it. We're going to start Trojan Nation. He had no chance to begin. Well, let's say very little chance, because let's face it, they all have a chance in a race like this. But he drew the rail, so he's done. Sudden Breaking News is a horse I thought could run down Nyquist, but not from the two-hole. I hate that for him. And I think he is going to be running late, but I just picture a trip where he gets shuffled way back, yeah, makes one run, maybe gets third or fourth.
Well, it's tough as, you kind of hear the idea was to put on the shadow roll, a little more focus. The idea, maybe he's a little closer. And a lot of people say, well, he's just a one-run horse anyway. Drawing the two doesn't matter. Not necessarily. There's a lot of stuff that happens as a two-hole just from the start. You get shuffled a horse. It can ruin a horse's race right from the go. And even if your horse is able to get out of that, and if you're not a speed horse, you really have no option other than just to take back and make one run. Whereas I believe the best chance for him to win is not necessarily to be all the way back. It's to be more... between a stalking and a way far out.
My perfect scenario for him would have been draw outside and be like the leader of the closers.
Yeah.
Kind of lead that pack and get the jump for a change.
Because one thing we've learned about this horse, whether it's, jockey, whether it's the horse, whether it's a combination of the two, is he doesn't make a move when there's horses outside of him. No. He's got to get all the way outside. So now you're going to... It complicates things. So, yeah, it definitely hurts his chances to draw the two.
So then you go to the three horse with Creator, and Creator has got the jump on Sudden Breaking News twice in his last two races, even though Sudden Breaking News has been ahead of Creator down the backside. So Creator gets this three. He's a little more versatile, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't like the three at all for Creator. I don't either, because of the same thing. Really, if you're one through four or five, you've got a chance to really get pinched back and have things go wrong, basically, for you. I thought Creator was the biggest chance to run down Nyquist. I don't know if he can do it from the three-hole.
Yeah. Again, it all comes down to the start. And those first couple horses just really get shuffled and how they come out of it, I think he'll recover. I like the way he split horses in the Arkansas Derby. I think Santana, an inexperienced rider when it comes to the Derby, is a pretty confident rider. So I feel like, you know, yeah, driving the three hole is probably not the best idea here for him, but he'll have some confidence, I think, to do what he wants with the horse. So yeah, while it's not the greatest, I'm not going to hold it against him as far as giving him zero shot, because, you know, like you said, they all do.
Yeah, he, like I say, he's versatile, and I don't think Santana will be afraid of the big moment. I think he'll ride his butt off. The four, I give no shot. You say you give Creator a shot. I say I give no Mo Tom no shot. The horse that probably would have loved to draw 20, so there was no chance of him going inside and getting blocked off again, was Mo Tom. He gets four. I think it's bad.
This horse is 20-1 morning line is 1-9 morning line that he will have traffic issues. That's how this horse will roll.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And so then we'll just go right to the 5, Gunrunner, who's getting a lot of hype at Churchill Downs. He's working out well. Definitely has that horse, that look of a horse that's progressing. What do you make of it? I don't think 5's a bad post. What do you make of him as a horse?
It's interesting to me that you have Asmussen's both horses 10-1 and yep, almost side by side. So really we're going to find out how good, you know, the debate is Creator better than Gunrunner. Is Gunrunner better than Creator? You know, to me with Gunrunner, you either love him or you hate him.
Yep.
There's people that I know, lots of people that I know that are picking Gunrunner to win this race. I'm not one of them. Mm-mm. I don't necessarily not like him. I just know the form that's come out of Fairgrounds in the past into the Derby. And I also know that, you know, his numbers, you know, aren't super exciting. You know, any more exciting than, say, Creator, who I think has better numbers and is on the more improved, where Gunner may have been running his best races at Fairgrounds.
I think Creator's been running against better horses, and I think he's got a little
bit, for sure.
Right. And I think he's got a little bit better turn of foot. So I don't hate Gunrunner. I probably just put him underneath on things. The 6, My Man Sam. You talk about horses that haven't had great numbers. My Man Sam last time out did not have a good number because the Bluegrass didn't have a good number. Did get second. He got into the Kentucky Derby by a nose, literally. He beat Cherry Wine right at the last.
The nose is the difference between him being in this race or Cherry Wine being in this race. So that was so important for Le Perru. You know, Ortiz is probably thinking, thanks, man, because Le Perru rode his butt off to get him up for second. Yep. And now Ortiz is riding him in the Derby. If you've been following, if you have our Kentucky Derby wagering guide, if you've purchased it, you saw that. Originally, I did have, you know, My Man Sam up in my top four. I've fallen out of love with him, I guess. Yeah. This is one of the closing horses. So say some breaking news, you know, this is a horse that can do that. You know, maybe not as well, but he does have a better post position that maybe he can have a little bit of run in it.
I think you hit it right on the head with how I feel with him. I think he can make a run at it. I think he's a very nice closer. But I like the other closers in the race better than him.
And how many times have we seen closers, good closers, that have shown good closing abilities in previous races into the Derby? When they get into the Derby and you see that stretch run, there's not a lot of movement, you know?
No.
They don't move a whole lot. Yeah. And maybe if they do, they're just passing tired horses, and they're definitely not making ground on maybe the top two or three horses in front.
I have stressed it and stressed it, and people I've told it to misinterpret what I say. You have to make a move on the turn to win the Kentucky Derby. You cannot be a late lane running horse. You've got to get position on the turn, and then you've got to have stamina left. So I think that's going to be the key.
Which is why last week we learned so importantly from John White, his Derby point system. That's such a vital point that you have to be in the lead or near the lead, you know, turning for home. Yeah. Because if you're not, you're not going
to
win the Derby.
John can't make it say the horse has to make a move on the turn, because it's subject to debate, you know. So he says they have to be first or second at the eighth pole, because you can measure that. You know, that's something that's quantitative. So anyway, we'll move on to the 7. You mentioned Julian Le Perru. Congratulations, yeah. Julian. You get Oscar nominated.
Yeah, yeah.
I give that horse zero shot.
I mean, he did win the Spiral.
Good for him.
He's never won on turf or dirt. He's never ran on dirt. Could he be like an Animal Kingdom type?
No, because here's the deal. Animal Kingdom was very impressive when he won the Spiral. And you thought, well, if he takes to the dirt, he could win. His numbers are comparable. This horse was awful. It was an awful race in the Turfway. Even if they ran this race on synthetic, I wouldn't pick him. I think he has no shot.
Go on.
Well, let's go to the 8. And hell, hey, what's he going to do? Lanny. And they mentioned on the post position draw that none of the trainers wanted to be around Lanny. So there he is. He's at the eight. He's been doing some things that are comical in the mornings and also very strange as well. Unreal.
Congratulations, Todd Pledger and Michael Maker, because you get to be on each side of this horse. Who knows? He broke poorly in Dubai in the UAE Derby, but he managed to run him down. This is one horse that, a lot of people, select people, I should say, and especially John White really, really likes. The breeding is great. I mean, the horse sure. is a perfect horse. It's just,
well, when it as comes, far as a breeding yes. standpoint and
let's just put it out there. He's got that extra whip going, so
he's showing that extra whip every morning. Yeah. if you know what we mean,
just go on Twitter and look for him in the morning. You'll see what we're talking about. So that might give him the edge here. it'll give him something, if nothing else. Maybe hit the horse next to him, or this is the most complete wild card of the entire race.
Yeah.
This horse could run huge. This horse could run dead last. I wish I could tell you more. I don't know.
With me, he either is going to blow up the tote board, which I wouldn't be just completely shocked. Pretty shocked, but not completely shocked.
He would definitely be the favorite horse of the whole field to blow up the tote
board. Oh my gosh, he'll totally blow it up. Or he could blow up like four or five horses' chances because he's nuts. But we'll see what happens with him. It's always, it's kind of weird to say, but as a spectator, I mean, you don't want him to hurt other horses, but it's always kind of like, man, let's see what he does. It's kind of exciting. I really don't think he'll do anything just nuts and hurt chances. But
Lanny's going to be the end of Motom, I think.
If Lanny and Motom get together, who knows? But we'll move on to Destin, the 9 horse. You called Lanny the wild card in the race. I'll call Destin the wild card in the race because last time out in Tampa Bay Derby was a very fast race. He beat 2 horses that came back to win grade ones. In Outwork and Brody's Cause. What do you do with him?
Was that last year's Tampa Bay Derby? That's how long ago it feels.
Yeah, it does.
He's not ran since March 12th of this year. Yeah, Outwork came back to win. That proved to be a terrible race that Outwork won. But he's still a comeback winner. Destin is 2 for 2. He's looked good. I mean, yeah, the Tampa Bay Derby was impressive. Sam F. Davis was impressive. Again, he earned one of the highest buyer numbers in this entire field in his prep. But what, setting them off this long, it's interesting for sure. But Todd Pletcher, don't doubt him. But again, it's the Kentucky Derby, so maybe you do doubt him.
I think another point with this is the Tampa Bay Derby in the past has given us results that are good and then results that are kind of strange and they don't really hold up.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to hold up, but you just don't know. And then with the time off, really hard to get a gauge what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely turned into a much better horse going, longer. Mile 16th. Yeah. But again, that's another huge key here. Mile 16th is as far as horse has gone. He's not even touched mile and eighth yet, where a lot of these horses, their final preps are mile and eighth. So at least you have an idea. He should get it. He's John's Causeway. I mean, definitely a good sire there. But again, we don't know. There's too many question marks for me for this horse.
Yeah.
I guess I would put Lanny and Destin in there as huge wild cards.
I couldn't put Destin on top of anything, but if I was playing a pick 4 or pick 5, I'd put him in that. So
yeah.
We'll move on to Victor Espinoza and Whitmore, your favorite guy, Victor Espinoza.
He's
looking for 3 straight. He's all but called it that he's going to do it with his great riding ability.
Yeah.
It's very humble. And so he gets on the number 10, Whitmore. You know what? Whitmore really hasn't done a whole lot wrong other than the fact he hasn't been able to actually win races.
Hey, if you're wrong with Quet, first of all, you got to be so excited about this draw. This is absolutely perfect. You couldn't ask for anything better. You had the perfect opportunity to sit right off the speed, which happens to be mostly on your outside this year, and you're still able to get out the gate fairly easily. So, to me, it comes down to, and I like the horse, but he's had every opportunity to win the Southwest and the Rebel, and he couldn't get it done.
Nope.
Now again, he did get beat by Cupid, and he got beat by Sudden Breaking News, but they're both, Cupid would be in this race had, he'd been healthy. And you got Creator, Sudden Breaking News, to beat him in the Arkansas Derby. So it's not like he's getting beat by bad horses. He's getting beat by horses that are in this race. But I just don't know if he's got that finishing kick that's needed to win this race. Now, I'll say this, with this, I didn't necessarily think he could hit the board, but prior to the draw, after the draw, with as good as this is, I think he's got a chance to, really.
He does. If other horses have trouble, I do think he'll come running. He is a horse that can get position on the turn. We have seen that. That's great, but he just hasn't shown that big finishing kick. So maybe he can kind of get up in position and hold on. I don't think he's impossible, but he might be kind of impossible to actually win, but we'll see. The 11 is Exaggerator. Mm. Talk about a horse that's very impossible to think or to figure out. Last time out, San Anita Derby, if he can repeat that performance here, they're running for second. It's that simple.
Yeah, oh, for sure. You either take a stand on him and believe that's going to happen and feel very confident about picking him on top, or you are a little iffy about it and think, okay, well, how much did that advance him, the slop, in that race? You know, the biggest telling point for me with this horse, and it could blow up completely in my face, but when Kent DeStormo, after the race, they interviewed him, and he rode, obviously, several horses that day. And that, I mean, there's muddy, there's sloppy, and then there was that day.
It was bad.
Mm-hmm. And he mentioned, he said, I rode a lot of horses today, and they all felt like, you know, they had ice skates on. When I got on him, it was like he had cleats on, track cleats. That kind of tells me that this horse definitely loved the slop. You know, he definitely came accustomed to it during the race, and so, you know, more spirit finished second, and he really hated the track that day. Yeah. So, and then you have to think about the bounce effect. Even if he didn't necessarily not enjoy the slop, mm-hmm. could he bounce big time off that huge performance? So, again, you're right. If he runs that race, then you're running for second.
Here's the deal with him, and here's the deal I want to try to stress to people. A sloppy track at Aqueduct, a sloppy track at Deltas, a sloppy track at Santa Anita, they're not going to play exactly the same. All tracks are different. You know, the feel's different. As far as a horse and liking a track, you never really know from day to day until they actually get out there. And I think it was definitely a case that he loved that track.
Yep.
He may love this track dry. You never know. But I think it was definitely a situation where he loved that track a lot more than what he was running.
Well, the only two wins he's ever had going two turns on a sloppy track. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that could just be coincidence or it could be a very telling sign.
He's definitely a contender, no matter how you slice it. So we'll go to the 12, Tom's Ready, who I think is not a contender. I don't care how many times Dallas Stewart has done it. I'm not going to put him in anything because it's not logical.
I think this is the top contender of the race to bounce big. He had a nice little race in Louisiana Derby after the Risen Star. He's kind of looking at the pattern he does here. You know, 8th, 2nd, which was an allowance, and 2nd Le Comte, 7th Risen Star, 2nd Louisiana Derby. I can see a big-time bounce here.
It's very possible. And you know, maybe he ran that I'm going to get second in the Kentucky Derby type of race last time and not this time. The 13 we've talked about, Nyquist, but, you know, I don't think we need to talk about him anymore. How about the 14, Mo Heyman? I know that this is a horse you and I were very high on. Boy, it's just turned out, even forget about the Nyquist loss and maybe he just bounced that day or whatever. But man, those horses that he's been beating in those stakes races have done absolutely nothing.
I can't remember a horse that we've followed, you know, since so closely that I've liked so much early in the Derby prep season and disliked so much during, you know, when it comes time for the race. And with only one loss that caused it, you know. You're right, it's not just the loss, it's seeing what he beat come back to do. I mean, Zulu, absolute nothing. Fellowship, nothing. Yeah. Greenpoint Crusader, really nothing.
Yeah.
Flexibility, nothing. You know, so these are horses. I mean, what have they done? He got beat by Nyquist and Majesto and Fellowship.
Yeah, not good horses.
Nyquist, you know, beat him very easily. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that doesn't count. Majesto, Fellowship. Right. So, listen, honestly, this horse could run huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could. He was undefeated before that race. He was highly touted. He was a lot of people, including myself, who liked Mo Heyman better than Nyquist. So, if you think that race was his bounce, and he bounces back here, his training has looked really well, but he's kind of acting a little Smack's a little like a little weird in the mornings. He's really amped up. It's almost as if he's the moment's a little bigger than maybe he is. Or I don't know. It just he's some signs are different than him than we saw earlier in the year for me.
I'm glad you mentioned that because you know the training has been weird. He hasn't been able to settle. Some people speculate that just what you said, that you know the moment's too big. Some people are speculating they're trying to get him to be more forwardly placed. We'll see. When it comes to training, let's talk about the 15 out work because this horse is said to have had a couple of really nice workouts.
Yeah, and we've seen a couple of the replays, and Pletcher seemed really excited about the way this horse is working. You know, with him, you could look at this two different ways. You could say, wow, the wood was terrible. I mean, he won it, but it was so slow, 152, almost 153. Crawled home, barely beat Trojan Nation, who, by the way, is a maiden. Didn't do anything in the race. Or you could say, look at this horse, the way he progressed. Main special weight, allowance, a really good second in the Tampa Bay Derby, and then won the Wood Memorial. And you could say, well, yeah, he won, and yeah, it was slow, but it was a muddy day. You know, you could throw that race out, say. Maybe he keeps improving off of that. Maybe if it's a fast track, he wins by six.
I think he's a beast. I really do, but I don't think he's going to be a beast in this race. I think if this, like, say he's running in the Pat Day Mile. Obviously, you're not going to run that horse in the Pat Day Mile. He's in the Derby. Why not run him in there? But
yeah,
I think he'd kill him in that race. I think he is a beast, but I think this is a little too long and asking a little too much out of him.
I was going to say, not to mention he's out of Uncle Mo, and can we really, like, can we go from saying Uncle Mo horse can't get him out in a quarter to having, like, an Uncle Mo exacta and outwork and Nyquist?
I actually thought about it because I do think this, if you look at this horse, man, he's got the look. He looks great. But the deal is, and you pointed it out, he barely was able to beat not only a maiden that had never finished in the exacta. He had never finished better than third before that race in the Wood Memorial where he damn near won it. And I mean a head bob away from winning it.
He will be this some speed in this race. Will he be cheap speed? Will he be real speed? We'll find out.
We will. The 16, you talk about cheap, Shagaff, a horse that I've never liked, but did win the Gotham and kind of had some good signs before a really poor effort last time out. Shagaff, you give him any shot?
I want to. I think he's been working out.
Don't do it.
I think he's been working out really well at Churchill. I don't think he has been, but he's a monster of a horse. He looks great, but that wood was... And here we go back to the wood. First of all, you know, the Gotham wasn't overly impressive, but it was enough, you know. He was horse that was undefeated. He needed to... It was very key to say this horse needs... You know, continue his buyer numbers kept improving. He needed to keep improving. He didn't. In fact, he regressed a little bit. And you know, in top of the stretch of the wood, if you pause that race, you say, "Who's going to win this race?" Shagaff's going to win by five.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he was good position. Yeah.
As far as how his past races had looked,
sure,
he was definitely going to run.
I can't argue that. Yeah.
And he flattened out. Not only flattened out, but went backwards a little.
He sucked. Yeah.
Here we go again. This is another horse. Do you throw out that race? Do you say he would have kept progressing and that race was just the slop? He didn't like it. There's a couple of these horses in this race you could do that with. I'm not going to. I liked Shagaff. I wanted to pick him. I wanted to have him be that horse that kind of shot up there that a lot of people are throwing out because I think he's going to be a nice price because a lot of people are in that ballpark there not liking him. But no, I'm not. I can't.
My problem with him is I don't ever think there was any progression that he was going to do. You know, I think people were hoping, but they weren't really basing it on anything other than his breeding's really good and we hope he does it.
He does get Rosario now, so...
That'll help, I think, for sure. And you know, we're on this the subject of progressing. Boy, the 17 horse, More Spirit, that's a horse we've waited on forever. Oh. I'm done waiting on him.
Is this going to be the day?
I mean, I can't do it.
Again, here we go. It's like a broken record. You could repeat this over and over. He was progressing. In fact, I loved him so much in the Santa Anita Derby. It was ridiculous because the way he was working out up to that race, the way he seemed like that was the race he was going to pop, you know, won the Los Al, won the Robert B. Lewis, finished second in the Sand Fleet, but it's a good second because Dan's and Candy ran huge. And then he was working out great. I thought Santa Anita Derby is going to pop. Well, with the track, the way it was, he didn't handle the track. I think that's pretty evident. Gary Stevens said as much. He still managed to get second, got beat, got waxed by Exaggerator. Is that another race you throw out? I don't know. I'm not ready to give up on him. He's got that grinding style. He's never finished worse than second in any race he's ran in. He's got that grinding style. He's definitely get the distance. I think he could just continue to kind of lope along. It's a 17 hole. He's not going to have many issues with traffic. Lope along, and you know, Gary Stevens, I told you during the draw, if I had a Derby horse, if I had, you know, had to have a jockey on that horse, I'd pick Gary Stevens because I feel confident that he's going to give me the best ride. So, can he do it? Is he good enough? We'll find out. I don't know if he's good enough to beat Nyquist. I think he's going to hit the board. I really do.
I kind of hope he does, but I don't know. I mean, I do agree with the post. I think that 17 hole, he kind of just go out and you do what you want to do because that's what he does anyway. He just does whatever the hell he wants to do all the time. He's got to get himself forwardly placed because he just doesn't have the turn of foot, I don't think, to catch him. So
you can't start back with Exaggerator.
No.
And try to make that run. You're not going to do it.
He'll smoke you.
But you got, if you can stay in the back end of that, which he tried to do a little bit, you know, in that last race, Gary did. But yeah, you're right. He's got to stay closer.
How about 18 Majesto? You know, since going two turns, the horses look very good. But is he ready for something like this?
Well, this was kind of my wise guy horse heading into, you know, the first, you know, say 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
This was my wise guy horse. I thought this was the one that no one's going to, you know, like and is going to hit up, you know, because one big thing about him was the run out after the Florida Derby where he just went right by Nyquist and really ran out super impressively. And you say, wow, you know, that's pretty good for a horse like that. What happens when they go longer? Maybe it was a, you know, optical illusion. I kind of liked him. I don't necessarily not like him. 18 holes rough. So, yeah. You know, he's going to have to run the race of his life to hit the board.
Yeah, he is. You know, I've always said this about gallop outs, and I'm not totally against watching them. I think they can tell you something. But always keep in the back of your mind, the race ends when they hit the wire.
Yeah.
You know, after
Nyquist isn't running anymore.
Exactly. And after that, it's kind of like, what do you want to get out of the gallop out as a trainer? Some trainers say, just ride him around the turn. Some will say, hey, pull him up, save him. You don't really know. It's almost like trying to look at workouts and not looking at the work, just looking at the times. You don't know what the trainer actually wanted. Times can be misleading.
And so, horses are, you know, like especially the really good ones like Nyquist,
they're
smart. They know they hit the wire. Why keep going?
You know, a horse we liked a long time ago, we liked him because he's kind of crazy. We didn't like him to win races, really, but Dublin. Every time that bastard would gallop out ahead, but he couldn't.
Yeah, he made you think, oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's really just because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He would keep running as hard as he could. You couldn't pull him up.
Yeah,
he was so strong and he wanted to run. It wasn't that, oh, man, when he goes longer, you know, I just a thought that came to my mind on him.
And to that point, you know, if you like Exaggerator and you say, well, that wasn't a fluke last time, and, you know, he's... He really is that good. If you go back to the San Felipe, he looked like he was about to die when he crossed the line.
Yeah.
He's like, that horse is never going longer.
Yeah.
Never.
And guess what? He got a mile and an eighth
well. Yeah, so if you like Exaggerator, then you got to have some kind of flaw in that logic.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we'll go to the 19 hole. This is a horse that I wanted to put, you know, up there towards the top. But, man, 19's a tough draw for Brody's Cause.
Yeah, it really is. This is a kind of horse that doesn't show enough speed at all, you know, for him to make any kind of ground out of the gate. So what he's going to have to do is take back, much like Sudden Breaking News on the inside, and make one run at it. And kind of like Sudden Breaking News, I just don't know if he's fast enough to make that really long run. And not to mention, he's a 19-hole. He's going to have to travel. Yeah, I kind of made this point to you earlier. These horses are drawn outside, and they're... You know, in such a closely tight field. You know, it wasn't like American Pharoah last year where he definitely stood out. There's a lot of horses that are very closely matched. You have to be 10 lengths better, 5 lengths, 8 lengths, no matter the distance traveled, in order to beat, like, say, Nyquist, who might get the perfect trip, or Dancing Candy if he gets out in front, or Destin, whoever. You got to be that much better if you're drawn outside, so it makes it that much tougher.
My hope with Brody's Cause was he could sit, like, 8th, 9th, 10th. And kind of get the first jump of closers where, you know, he would be ahead of Sudden Breaking News Creator. Even my man Sam. Now that he is most likely either A, going to go wide, like you said, or B, going to be right with those horses, I don't think his turn of foot is quite as fast as those guys. So unless he gets lucky with a nice trip, I don't know. I'm a little worried about him now, even though I do think he's pretty decent. And then you mentioned Dan's and Candy, the 20. At first, we were kind of like, I don't really know. I think we've kind of settled now that, hey, that might not be so bad for him at 20.
Yeah, well, the first big thing is he's going to walk into the gate and he's going to walk out of the gate because he's the last one to load and they don't waste any time. As soon as that last one's in, they go. So he's got that going for him. There's none of to sit there and wait, gets in and goes. The other big thing is drawing outside, he's outside of all the speed. He is a speed. So one thing we know about Mike Smith in the Derby.
Yes, he does.
And so, this horse is definitely the fastest in the race, I believe, and I think you probably agree with that.
Yep.
If he can get up to the front and then start kind of having his own way, he could be very dangerous.
Here's the key to the race as far as the pace goes. Danzy Candy and Outwork are definitely fast. I could definitely see them going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mohayman, the way they're training him, maybe, but I don't know. Say Danzy Candy or Outwork, either one, something happens. They get pinched off the gate. They stumble and they get shuffled way back. All of a sudden, you might have a loose on the lead type of horse.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Dancing Candy or Outwork, even if you get a nice lead and you set your own fractions, you give a quality horse that kind of trip, they're tough to run down a lot of times. So if they both do what they're supposed to do, I think we will have an honest pace. If one thing or another happens to one of these horses, I'm not so sure we'll have a hot pace.
Yeah, you know, if Dancing Candy gets out the gate fine and gets out to the front, he may go and never look back. I mean, right. You know, with Mike Smith, you know, Mike Smith made a note on the U.S. Racing podcast a few weeks ago that he felt very confident that I'm going to be at the top of the stretch in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if my horse can get the lead, you know, can get it, go on. But I'll be there.
Yep.
And so, you know, and I feel pretty confident Mike Smith in getting that done. This is probably the most pivotal horse as far as start goes.
Yeah.
Always starting in Kentucky Derby is pivotal. But for this horse in particular, where he's drawn, he's got to start. He's got to go. He's never had any issues with starting, so I don't see that being big of an issue. But, yeah, I don't know. He's definitely intriguing to me. And again, this goes back to the exact same situation we had with Exaggerator, with More Spirit, you know, with Shagaff, with Outwork. That last prep was a nasty track condition.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. This horse is another one, has looked better and better and better. San Felipe, he ran massive. And then, of course, he did not like to slop one bit in the San Diego Derby. But could you argue that this horse, you know, could have made another step up at the track, been fast track? So,
yep.
Again, we don't know.
We don't, and we're going to find out the answer to that for sure. Okay, we've ran them down.
Yeah, we have.
The moment has come. I'll go first, I guess, since it's my turn to talk. After months...
I'm glad you're going first.
...and months of trying to beat Nyquist in this race, I picked him, and you know what? I think he's kind of a standout after the draw. I think he will have to run a poor race to get beat.
Well, yeah, this horse, who I picked here, I've been all over at times, mm-hmm. and I've been against at times, and the times I was against, he proved me way wrong, and that's number 13, Nyquist.
Yep.
We both did all last year, you know, when you're talking 6.5 furlong, 7 furlong races, even the front runner. 1 mile 16th. I thought, okay, you know, he can do it. Then after that race, I thought, I don't know, you know, it didn't seem like
look kind of
yeah. Shaky. And then mm-hmm. so the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is when I bailed. Okay, I bailed on him there. Prove me wrong. I bailed on the San Vicente. Prove me wrong. No, I take that back. I had him in the San Vicente because it wasn't 7 furlongs. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mile and eighth, the next race four I bailed. So basically, what I'm saying, distance, I thought, no way this horse can get distance. He just proved me wrong. And I strongly believe that because of the post position, particularly, that he's going to get the perfect dream trip. And I just think that his class alone, while he may not flourish at a mile and a quarter, he may be a better horse at a mile 16th, a mile, whatever. I think his class alone, he's good enough and fast enough to still hold off these horses.
Yeah.
So the way I kind of seen this race play out is a lot like, it's very similar to the other Doug O'Neill Kentucky Derby winner, and I'll have another, and Bodymeister. I see Bodie being your Dancing Candy, and I see, you know, I see Dancing Candy, or I see Nyquist being your I'll have another. Now he's going to run him down the stretch. That's the way I see it. Maybe not quite as fast-paced as Bodie was going because he was flying.
Sure.
Something similar.
Well, the thing you got to love about Nyquist is he can win from anywhere. He's proved it. You know, he got a terrible break in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Yeah.
One from, like, what, last or close to last, wasn't he? Or he wasn't maybe that far back.
All the way far. He was an eighth at one point.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, way far back from what he normally is. And he came running and he won the thing. So.
Yeah, Dancing Candy is the horse that I think has the most pivotal starting situation.
Yep.
Nyquist maybe the least, because I feel confident. Even if he doesn't break very well, I still feel confident he can at least get, you know, have a chance to make a run. I'd prefer if he started okay, though.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't say that about any other horse in the race. So that's,
exactly.
You know, I was with you. I didn't think he could go much further than a mile and 16th. But you know what? That mile and eighth race, he looked just fine. So I've got to go with him here, and I hate to do that. Now, I think if there is going to be an upset, I think Creator could pull it. I love that. You know this. Anybody listen knows I love Creator. But
if Nyquist, here's the thing that makes this year's Derby so completely crazy, is if, because you have a horse that's out of Uncle Mo, who is a standout.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't get the distance. And he say he falters at, you know, the eighth pole or something. The tote board is going to literally blow up.
Uh-huh.
So watch out.
So you've got the 3-1 Nyquist and the 8-1 Exaggerator. Exaggerator has proven over a dry track he wants no part of going any further than about a mile. He would agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying his proven track record shows he doesn't really want to. And then if Nyquist doesn't do what we think he's going to do, there's your two horses under the 10-1 mark. Gone. And then you've got the other horses like Sudden Breaking News, Brody's Cause, you know, Creator, that have questionable draws. What if somehow they're gone? Who wins? It's going to be insane.
The Chagaff, Majesto, Trojan Nation, Oscar-nominated.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at payouts that could be astronomical.
Rapid fire. Let's start with race 6, the undercar Churchill Distaff Turf Mile Stakes, grade 2 or 300K. Fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up, going 1 mile of turf. This one's easy. Number 1, Teppan.
Yeah, Teppan, all the way.
Race 7, the Churchill Down Stakes. It's a grade 2 worth $500,000 for 4-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs. Field and 9. We got a rematch, Lutos Amigos and Calculator. Can we see as good as a matchup as we did last time?
I think we're going to see pretty close to the same, except we also have Kobe's back in this race, who's also very good.
Clearly the top West Coast sprinter, I'd say.
And how about Spitester? I hadn't seen this horse since the Dwyer when he was kicking Texas Red's ass. So,
Big-time wild card here.
Yeah, this is fantastic. One of the best races maybe on the whole weekend. I went against Salutos last time. For some dumb reason, I'm not doing it ever again. I'm going with Salutos Amigos.
Yeah, I mean, I had Calculator last time, and I thought this was the day. He broke well. Everything happened perfectly. Looked like he was a winner the entire stretch. Could not get by Salutos Amigos. So then you'd think I'd pick Salutos Amigos. I will not pick Salutos Amigos here because he's not running in New York. Number 6, Spitester. I really wanted to pick. Undefeated. Really has a lot of talent. I'm just... can't, not sure off the layoff like that. I went with number 1, Kobe's back. He's got him running better than ever right now. He's definitely, I think, as far as the class goes, right up there with the rest of them. There's a lot of speed in this race. I think that he has the opportunity to sit off of it, and Gary Stevens do work on stretch, so Kobe's back. Race 8, the Humana Distaff Stakes. It's a grade 1 worth $300K for fillies and mares. 4-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs, led by your 5-2 morning line favorite, number 8, Terrace. Going that direction?
You know, I never get the fascination with this horse. No, I'm not. This is a great race. I'm not bad-mouthing Terrace. I just, I don't know. I don't understand it. I think, for me, I'm going to go back with Wavell Avenue. I picked her last time out at Keeneland, and what a tough race. And she ran admirably. I think she'll do well here.
Yeah, getting beat by sheer drama and stop charging Maria.
Right.
Off a layoff. Certainly nothing to, you know, look bad upon. I picked her last time as well. Rosario back with her, who won the Breeders' Cup with her and rode her several times before that. He's back. I think it makes a difference. Way Love Avenue for me. Race 9, the American Turf Stakes, grade 2, worth $300,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Going 1/116th on the turf, field of 13. It's loaded. Led by your very weak morning line favorite, the 1-horse Aeroforce, 4-1. What do you think of this horse? I mean, this is finally getting back to turf. What do we do with him?
I don't know. That's a very good question. I'm going to stay away from him as far as picking the horse to win. He could. If he gets back to his turf form, he will. I'm going all the way to the outside. The 13 horses are for Todd Fletcher. I don't know. I just got a feeling about this one. I think turf is his deal, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been off of it for a couple of races. I think he gets back on and runs well here.
He got a price there, too, at 10-1.
Yep.
Here's the deal. With Aeroforce, if he runs like he was running on turf before they tried to go the Kentucky Derby route, it's a monstrous win here, and it's not going to be close. I mean, he's 2-2 going into the Breeders' Cup. Got beat just by narrowest margins of Hit It A Bomb, who was a very good horse. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Dirt and obviously won Jockey Club on the slop and then struggled after that big time. Did they ruin the horse? Did they ruin him, or is back to turf going to make the difference? I'm going to take... I didn't think I would. I'm going to go with Aeroforce. 4-1, just because I think he's that much better when he run him on the turf, and if assuming he gets back to that distance and back to that surface, I think it's not close. So Aeroforce. Race 10, the Pat Day Mile Stakes. It's grade 3 for $250,000 for 3-year-olds going 1 mile. Loaded here. Field of 14. A lot of horses that we've seen within the Derby Trail. Discreetness, Rallis, Gray Sky, Forever Mo, American Dubai, Fellowship, Cocked and Loaded, Unbridled Outlaw, Star Hill. These are a lot of horses we've seen this year. Where do you go with these Kentucky Derby, you know, hopefuls?
Forget all those hopefuls.
Okay.
My best bet, second best bet of the day, American Freedom, the 11 horse. Love it. He had an unbelievable debut. I think the sky's the limit for this horse. I've got the highest of hopes for him. I think he rolls in this one.
6-1 morning line, Castellano riding, Bob Baffert. That's another Bob Baffert horse we really like on the card.
Yep.
Lightly race. Gary and Mary West owned. This is the same owners, by the way, American Pioneer, who ran in the Arkansas Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this horse looks like a beast. And again, with this field, Gray Sky is intriguing with Channing Hill and D. Wayne. And, of course, I think the distance back will help a little bit. Is he good enough? I'm not sure. The performance, the debut by American Freedom was too much to ignore. Now you have Castellano. I got to take it. Race 11, the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic Stakes, grade 1, worth $500,000 for 4-year-olds and up. Going 1/8 on the turf. Loaded field of 13. We're hoping that Tepin might take the risk and run in this race against Big Blue Kitten. She did not. Big Blue Kitten's in this race. 12 horse, 5-2 morning line. I mean, I know you love this horse. You go in that direction.
I told you before we recorded this, this is so easy for me because I just pick Big Blue Kitten every time he runs. So
yeah, and usually I try to pick against him, and he usually beats me.
Because you're dumb.
But I'm not going to do it. I've smartened up this
oh,
year.
Oh, no. Kiss up. Of death. He's not winning.
Yeah, I pick against him, but... I tried, believe me, I tried, and I just don't see enough in here that can beat him. This horse has faced the best of and you could argue that maybe last year took it out of him, which is why we haven't seen him until May. Possible. Or you could argue that he's that good. It's Chad Brown, it's Joe Bravo, 5-2. I'll take Big Blue Kitten. That wraps it up. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks and our premium selections on our handicapping products page. 100% money back guarantee. Now covering all tracks. Our full card, Kentucky Oaks tips and Kentucky Derby tips, are now available. Those that purchase our pro tip sheet for May 7th, Kentucky Derby Day, will be eligible to download our exclusive 20-page Kentucky Oaks Derby wagering guide. Our full card picks will be available for download today. You can also purchase our 1-month pro package anytime before May 6th and receive our full card Kentucky Oaks tips, Kentucky Derby tips, and Preakness tips at no additional charge, plus the 20-page Kentucky Oaks Derby wagering guide. So, yeah, basically what I'm just saying, it's a lot of stuff. A
lot of stuff.
And it's not expensive.
No, not at all. And that's what we love about it.
We're currently covering 29 tracks, all offering free picks. Go on Twitter at @racing_dudes, LinkedIn, Google Plus, and Facebook. Right, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Holtzman. Good luck in the Kentucky Derby.
RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.